John 17, beginning in verse 20, Jesus is praying, and he begins to shift his prayer from his disciples to us all as believers. And he says this, "My prayer is not for them alone, being his disciples, but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. In them, I in them, and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Let's pray this morning. Father, today we thank you for your word that is eternal. We pray today that God, in this place, as you have been moving by your Spirit, that you would continue to mold, to shape. God, that we would be a people who would not be marked by our complaining, would not be marked by having a negative outlook, but God, we would be marked by you, Jesus, in an attitude of thanksgiving, that we would be thankful. We would be known as being a thankful people because we have a great God who has bestowed and given and blessed. So, Father, I pray that in this place today you would move, you would speak, you would have your way, and we will be fast to give you all the glory, quick to give you all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Over the last few days for this holiday season, did anybody have people come over to your home? You know what that entails. Preparation, right? Cleaning, right? Mike told me already, Miss Pam, that when he came back from work, he was overjoyed to be able to help get things ready. Overjoyed. Yeah, overjoyed. Overjoyed. How many people traveled? So you didn't host, but you traveled too. Okay. We would fit in that group. This is the first year that we traveled with 8. So we rented a van. No, I'm just kidding. We could actually all fit in my Tahoe, but my wife was gracious to me and said, if we'll drive separately so I could come back and hunt on Saturday. So, yeah, it was gracious, good. Unfortunately, the deer also knew I was coming back on Saturday, so they stayed away from me. But we'll get them. I'm not a quitter. So we were down and we traveled with 8, and can I tell you, it was at times awesome. Incredible to be together. My brothers, and so I'm the oldest of 4. So I have 3 younger brothers, all of them married, and basically I think all of them except for one is actually trying to begin their family. And my the brother that's closest to me, him and his wife are pregnant. They're expecting. And I think it's like March or something like that. May, okay. June, July, one of those. She's expecting in a month of next year. And so for us with our clan, it's very different. Because when we come, I think Cyrus said it best, we come in like a wrecking ball. We just do. And when we come in, let that hit you. Let it hit you. We come in and it's like, we're here. And we've got them running everywhere. I can remember when I was growing up, when I was young, 8, 9, and we would go to my grandparents, and I have cousins that are like all around my age, and it'd be like 14 of us running around this little house with a 3-bedroom home. And it was absolutely insane. And that's kind of what my parents' house is becoming. Right now, it's just because of us and our fault completely, but soon everybody else, I think, will be adding to the chaos. But it's incredible to be with and to have and to be with family, to be with people whom, for better or worse, here we go. Can I tell you that our family's different today than it was 20 years ago? When it was just us four boys and my mom and dad, drastically changed. Yet can I tell you how thankful I am for each and every one that is a part of our family, now in unique in their own way, but I'm thankful for them. Thankful for them. One of the things that I believe God has called us to is to be grateful, to be thankful. Don't worry about it. You're going to fall asleep. Don't worry about it. I have this tack that as I speak, they go right out. And don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. David's in the back seat back there. He's already in trouble. Look at him. Already. So I have this. It's a gift. I just put them right out. They just go out. So don't even worry about it. To be thankful for the family or the community of God. That this morning, my heart's desire is that we would see and we would recognize and begin to be thankful for the community of God that He has welcomed us into. I kind of sat back at amazement as my father, when we were celebrating and we were all gathering, and my father begins to talk, and he doesn't say, "Now, boys, I'm just so thankful for the Lord, to the Lord for you. You know, you've grown up to be great men." You know what he says? He says, "You know how thankful I am to the Lord for daughters like you." Speaking to my wife and then to my brother's wives. And I'm thinking, okay, he's saving the best for last. And he said, "You know, I'm just so thankful to the Lord for you, my daughters. You are each a blessing." And he goes on, I'm thinking, okay, here we go, right? Next, you know. And he's like, "So let's pray." What? That this community, this family, is different today than it was 20 years ago. That we have brought in different people. There's different personalities. How many experienced some different personalities as you gathered? Praise the Lord. To be thankful for the community of God that He's brought us into. Can I tell you that today, if you are here and you have received the grace of God, you have believed, put your faith, and you've been saved by His grace through faith, you are a part of the family, of the community of God. Can I tell you I'm so grateful, so thankful for the community of God? See, because there's something about when we gather. We are different. We may not have the same last name. But can I tell you, we all share a name. And his name is Jesus. That the truth is, if you are a believer, a follower of Jesus, I'm going to spend eternity with you. So you might as well get used to me. And you're like, well, heaven's going to be big. I'm not worried about it. I'll be on that other side, you know. No, the truth is, if we belong to Jesus, to God, have been saved by his grace through faith, we will spend eternity together. What a community. And you're looking around, you're thinking, yeah, not bad. I mean, yeah, I can deal with that. The truth is, it's such a larger community than that which is just represented here. The community of God, his kingdom, his church. And I'm so thankful for it. So thankful for it. My prayer today is that we would see from his word, from the prayer that Jesus offers up, that we would see what community brings. And that we would understand that maybe today we're missing or lacking or in short supply of what community brings, that today we have a choice to re-engage with community, with the community of God. First, I want us to see the first thing that community brings, and it's seen in verses 20 through 22. It says again, Jesus says, my prayer is not for them alone, his disciples. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you have gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Can I tell you that the first thing that community brings is unity? Unity. And I'm going to, yeah, you can already kind of tell, I'm going to play off of community for what it brings. It brings unity. See, Jesus says that they would be one as he and the Father are one. Can I tell you that that's a close relationship? That's a unified front. In fact, Jesus says, I only say what he has told me to say. How many of us have that same unity with his Spirit? That we would only say what he has called us or enabled or spoke to us to say? A unity is not, and please hear this, this is not a uniformity. That we all walk the same. That we all would dress the same. Bernie, you're looking good though. But look, not bad. Well, he is now. Right? Look. Right? Somebody asked me, they said, suit coat again? I said, yeah, I think it might be my style. I can put a t-shirt on and throw a suit coat on it, and immediately I go up in, like, professionalism, you know? Jeans and a t-shirt, throw a suit coat on. Oh, looking nice. You know, it's like, okay. looking good. Yeah. You know, he's not called us to a uniformity. He's called us to a unity. That in our diversity, in our differences, in the way that we're different, we can still be unified. We can still belong. We can still be a community. And I wonder for us, how many of us really walk in that unity? See, the problem oftentimes with a gathering of people is the enemy begins to get in and begins to sow dissension and division and envy and a judgmental spirit. Well, the Bible says, test it. Okay, It also says deal with the plank before the speck. So yes, but let's make sure we're in balance. That he's called us to a unity. He's called us to a unity. Are we unified? Or when we see somebody come in, is it like, oh, I can't believe they're here? Did you hear? I want to encourage everyone here that we desire to not be a place where gossip abounds, but where grace abounds. That if somebody comes to you and says, well, did you know or did you hear? You could say, well, you know what? I did not and I don't need to. Now you can go right to that person if you've got issue and we can handle it in a biblical way. Where we don't spread and don't allow the enemy to divide us. Well, I like it better when Pastor Eric speaks. Sometimes I do too. Well, I just wish that we would do this more, or do that more. It would look like this and look like that. It's okay to have opinions. But realize, we need to realize that that's what they are. Preference. That our preference may be not always the right thing. You walk into, if you ever walked into somebody's house and you saw it was different than yours, how dare they? How dare they? This is where the pots go. This is where the fine china goes. But we do that when we begin to place our preference on others. And the enemy begins to sow division rather than unity. That we should be walking and seeing one another and saying, you know what, this is different than me, but I rejoice in it. I rejoice in it. That the Lord would bless you, that you would be able to do and operate and walk in His favor and His grace, and the Lord can move and direct you just as He would, and I'll stand by you. That we would be united, not divided. Jesus prayed, Father, let them be one as we are one. Those of you who know, and I'm kind of imposing, I guess, to some extent. I didn't even prep or talk to you, Pastor Greg, beforehand. But this is just how I do it. Those of you who know Liz, her dad, Pastor Greg, pastors a church in Lake City. It's a different denomination than us. But we are united in Christ. See, rather than focusing on that which would divide, don't we have so much more that unites us? Oh, well, but you don't understand. No, I know we could argue over semantics, or we could just be united in Christ. And we could believe that God will, that we will be united.
Well,
as long as you're going to talk about me. Can I just add a word? Yes, but can I preface it with, the moment you stood up, your wife said, oh no. So I'm not sure. But I believe she's got intuition, but yes, yes, go ahead.
No, she said, here we go.
Oh, okay. That she's shaking her head. She's like, no, we didn't. No, I did not. Okay, go ahead.
I serve a Presbyterian congregation.
Amen.
What?
Amen. Yeah.
Just like most of the people in this room.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
And I challenge you to build
community
by praying for and blessing the other congregations in Cadillac.
That's right.
And not thinking of them as other churches.
That's right.
There's only one church.
That's right. Amen. Yes, that's right. And they speak too different. Yeah, amen. Amen. You know, the truth is this, when it comes to other places and communities that gather, we do not contend and we are not against them. We champion them.
Oh.
There you go. There you go. And we all know which is the best. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, right? The best to us, right? I mean, that's, again, preference. And to me, and to me, my heart is that we would be united. That is the truth. That is the truth. I love that. That we would be united in Christ. That we would not be divided. That we would not see it as a competing. That we would not see it as them against, but we together. That we together. That we would have genuine community, that the community of God would really be united. That we, Jesus prayed this. Can I tell you that his word declares that if we would believe and we would ask, that we would see it? Who better to pray the will of God than God himself? Who prays the will of God that we would be one. Not divided, but united in him. And I wonder for us, how many of us, we see these situations or these people, not just different, not in just different gatherings or communities, but even in this house. And we would look at it, look at them like, well, I'm not with that. I'm not with them. You know, I'm a firm believer that we will always stand and call sin, sin. But we will also always be the ones who have received the great grace and forgiveness, that we would be that extension as well as the love of God to those who are in need of great grace and forgiveness. That we would be the people who really promote unity, that you belong here. How can we belong here if we're not united? How can we be a community together if we're not united? Well, Pastor, I'm here. I guess I'm for it. And if I'm not, I'll leave. Community doesn't mean we'll always agree. But it does mean there'll be a level of respect. It does mean that we can honor one another. Even in not seeing eye to eye on everything, that we would understand and we would be able to stand together. Well, I don't know why they do this. I don't know why we do that. But you know what? I'm here. And we are united, not divided. Second thing that we see here in this passage that I believe, again, that community brings us is seen in verse 23. And it says this, Jesus prays, I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity. This unity that's mentioned here, it's a numerical term in language. It's like a unity, it's a oneness, complete oneness, complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The second thing that I believe community brings is not just unity, but also communion. Maybe you're like, well, we did that last week. Communion is not simply remembering the sacrifice of Jesus and celebrating the death of Jesus on the cross. That's not the complete totality of what communion is. In fact, if you Google communion or look it up, that which we did last week, that coming around the Lord's table, that's the second definition. But there's a primary definition of communion. And it's that of a close, of an intimate sharing of thoughts and feelings. This close communion that we have with one another. Can I tell you, I long for more communion with one another? The truth is, to some extent, some of you in here, I know a lot about, but I don't know how much I really know you. See, this is the problem in such an age of information. You can know a lot about someone, and not know them at all. We almost mix up knowledge for relationship. That if I know a lot about somebody, then that means I have relationship with them. But the truth is, relationship is more than just knowing about someone. It's being with someone. You see, I say I long for more communion with the community of God here in this place. Jesus said that as I have given and as you've given me, I've given them the glory that there would be a unity, a oneness. There would be such a communion that we would share one with another. And I wonder for us, how many of us really have communion with one another? Well, again, Pastor, we did that last week. That's not what I'm talking about. How many of us have an intimate, a close relationship with people here? Well, I've been coming here for a while, and I don't know if I'm really open, close with anyone. I think that some of our problem is we have bought into this lie that the community of God is just Sunday morning from then to then. That we've bought into this lie that the community of God is just showing up, taking up a seat, maybe giving something in the offering. Maybe I'll even serve. Communion is so much more. It's so much more. It's close relationship. And can I challenge us that I long not only personally to have a greater communion with you, but I long so much for you to desire communion with one another. Can I tell you that I'm limited? Thank you for not amening that right there. That was a good moment. You could have, and you didn't. I love you. I'm limited. But can I tell you that if we would take interest in one another, begin to have a close relationship with one another, that we would never be alone? Well, that's not true, Pastor. I was alone yesterday. I was alone today. No. You were lonely. But when you have close relationship with somebody, you're never alone. Because when you have close relationship with somebody, even if you're not presently together, they're thinking about you. And you're thinking about them. So the truth is, and this is what we miss out. Why is it that in the day and in time in which information is at our fingertips, we can learn about somebody? I can see where Caleb works in a couple seconds here. If I just look, or did you put it on there? Changed it. Okay, see? Told you. I can find out stuff about him, but if I'm not willing to spend time with him, I don't really have communion with him. Not close relationship with him. See, in a day and age when it's weird, well, what would we do? Well, what did you do for Thanksgiving? We got together, we ate, we talked, we played games, we were annoyed with one another. You're living under a false pretense if you feel like being close with somebody is never going to bring annoyance. We know that there's a certain amount of time that my parents can handle our kids around. Don't worry, they don't listen. They're not listening to it. We know that there's a time in which it's like, okay, it was good to be here. Time to go. There's nothing wrong with that. We love one another. But as we get close to one another, we're going to rub. It's like saying that in marriage counseling, hey, this is the greatest choice you've ever made, and you're never going to have a problem. What? You're going to be around this person more than anyone else and you're not going to have an issue? A person who's not you sees the world different, perceives things different, and you're not going to have an issue or a problem? We're setting people up for failure. And in the same way, if I tell you, get close to one another, you're just going to love it. Never is going to be an issue or a problem. I'm setting you up for failure. But can I tell you that it's in those moments of tough or conflict that if we don't run, we really grow? That if we don't run from the conflict, but we grow through the conflict, that God can really bring some transformation to our heart? Well, I'm upset with somebody in the church, so I'm not going to go anymore. You thought you were going to come to a gathering of people who aren't you and you weren't going to have an issue? When did you think that? Why did you believe that lie? Well, pastor said this, and I'm just not happy about it, and so I'm just going to go somewhere else. That's not community. That's not family. That's not what God desires for us. That's not oneness. Not as He is one with the Father. So I wonder for us, how many of us really know community, the community of God? Miss Terry, would you come and just? I think the truth is we've cheapened the community for a service. I'll take a service rather than community, because a service I can come to and leave. Community. You know why I know my neighbor well? Because I see him when he walks out in his sweatpants and shirt to get his trash can. I see him when he's out playing with his daughter. I see him when he's doing this and when he's doing that. I know him well because I see him, but there's still a closeness that I could still have that's not there. See, you might know people well in here because you perceive the things they do. What I want to challenge us with today is that God's desire is that we would be one as He is one. In real community, how do we become thankful for community? We live in it. And not just the parts that we really like, but all of it. Can I tell you that having kids was an absolute amazing blessing of the Lord? Can't wait. Well, I can wait. I can wait a long time. My kids aren't old enough yet to be blessed with that. I'm hoping. A long time. There it is. Good thing. You know, the hard part is even in the blessing, there's tough time. I believe it. Children are a blessing from the Lord. I'm a holding. I believe it. I know it. Can I tell you, it doesn't mean it's always easy. Sometimes they make decisions, I just think, well, what were you thinking? Yet I'm committed to them. My heart is that we would share the same mindset in, we may look at somebody and think, what were you thinking? But you know what? I love you. I'm with you. I don't have to agree with every decision you make to stand with you. Again, unity, not uniformity. Communion, close relationship. How do I do this, Pastor? I'm struggling. I don't really have real community here. I come here, I'm in and out, but I don't know if anybody even knows me. Can I tell you that I believe healthy things grow? No amen on that one. Healthy things grow. So I'm believing that as we continue to be healthy in the Lord, we will see people who don't know Jesus come to know Jesus. Can I tell you, I can't wait till somebody comes in and says, I can't believe they're sitting in my chair. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't believe they moved the reserves. Oh, Tracy's not in here. He's not paying attention. He's out there talking. Isn't that something? No, he just looked in here. You know, I can't wait until the Lord starts to bless and we start to really see a harvest. And again, harvest doesn't just fall into the lap. It's tilled, it's worked for, it's brought in. But healthy things grow. Maybe you're like, you know what, I like this church, it's not too big. Can I tell you that we're going to grow? Not because we want numbers, but because we want to crowd heaven. Because we know that there are people who don't know Jesus. And our heart is not for us to be comfortable, it's for us to be the community of God that He's called us to. Do we have communion? Well, how do I do that, Pastor? Two things, real quick. And I promise, How do we have community first? Can I tell you it's a we problem? How do we have community? We begin with a willingness to engage in community. Can I just say I'm so grateful for each and every one of you here, because without you even maybe knowing it, you've said, I'm willing. Well, wait a second. I just came this week. I'm not even sure if I'm coming back. But you're here. So maybe even without your knowledge, you stepped out into a willingness, a willing aspect of saying, God, what do you want to do? Can I tell you that we have a God who loves us so well and so much that He'll never force us to do something against our will? That our God is not an abuser. He's a lover. That the truth is this. If you lack community, the community of God, some of it may be because of your lack of willingness. Well, that's right, Pastor. And I'm going to stay there. Can I tell you today what Jesus prayed for you? That we would be one? That we, all who would hear the message of the disciples, that we would be one as He is one. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure if I like you that much. Better get to like me, because we're spending eternity together. If not, I'm praying for you, because I know where I'm going to be spending eternity. Well, yeah, but then there'll be God's grace and everything, and I won't be annoyed with you. As if we don't have the grace of God now? My question for you who maybe lack community within the community of God, are you really willing? Are you open? Can I tell you that there's... The honesty is this, when it comes to relationships, we as a people tend to be fearful and walk in fear rather than by faith or in love, because we've been hurt. It's legitimate. Like we feel like we have a legitimate reason. Nope, I keep people at a distance. Did it once, not doing it again. Been there, done that. Been hurt, been betrayed, been lied about. What of that have you not experienced in your family? Yet, they're family. The community of God, are you willing to be open? Are you willing to be open to be a part of the community of God? Well, I'm not sure. I'll have to think about it. Can I tell you something that Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? I say this often, but I never really complete it. It's chapter 5, verse 17, and it goes through 20. It says this: if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, and not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed us to this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. as though God were making his appeal through us. That if we have received the grace of God by faith, through faith, that we have become a part of his family. See, the truth is this, when it comes to your identity, the greatest aspect of priority or distinction when it comes to us is a child of God. It's not me as a man. It's not me as a son of Tom Matuzo. Wait, I thought that was your name. It's my dad's name too. No, I'm not a junior. See, we're getting closer. We're getting more intimate. This is good. It's not me as a husband, although I am that. It's not me as a father, although I am that. It's me as a child of God. And therefore, that is my first priority of distinction. Therefore, we are family. We're family. Therefore, we're community. Therefore, we give to one another. Are you willing to be a part of that? Can I tell you that if we are not a part of the community of God, spiritually, we will always be unhealthy. If Jesus said, Father, I pray that they would be, if Jesus declares his will here for us, and we say, nope, I know better. We're walking outside of his will, and outside of his will always be unhealth. But if we would say, you know what, I'm not completely comfortable, but I'm willing to be stretched. I'm not completely comfortable, but I'm willing to grow. I'm willing to mature in this. Can I tell you that we can have community if we will be willing, and second, if we will put forth effort? It's a we problem. See, a lack of community is a we problem. Usually, you will lack community if you're not willing and you put forth no effort. Hey, anybody in here have a friend that you know your friends because you put more effort in than they do? Oh, just two of us. Okay. Nope, I cut them out. Okay. All right. Fair enough. No, I don't deal with that. You know, when I first came here, somebody's told me something that just has resonated in my spirit, my heart. And it was when we had a guest speaker in here. They were talking about being close and having friendships, healthy, good friendships within the church. And they said, you know, Pastor, this person said, and it really has changed my mindset, that if I want a friend, I have to first be a friend. And really what that means is if you feel today that you have no community, can I ask, one, are you willing? And two, are you putting forth any effort? Well, no, I'm here to be served. I came to spectate. I came not to participate. I came to have, and see, that's again the problem with our gatherings, is we try to be so engaging and hospitable that we almost lose the desire that, you know what, you came in here and you have some obligation or some responsibility as well. We try to put on this great thing and we try to say, hey, won't we dazzle you and won't this happen and aren't you entertained? That's not the community of God. It is to belong, not to attend. And I'm so glad you're here. We love you. And we're so excited for what God is doing in you. But can I tell you, if you just sit back at a distance and just attend and don't belong, you will always lack community. Pastor, but I've tried. I've put forth some effort. We'll put forth more. You have the friendships and relationships that you want. Period. Today in this place, as you look across this room, who really knows you? And if it's just you, can I ask you to hear Jesus this morning? Who, when he prays, says, Father, I pray that they would be one as we are one? See, Jesus messes me up because he always puts in these things that make it difficult for me to say, well, oneness is just being here. Because Jesus says that they'd be one just if they would gather and come together. Oh, we could preach that. Communities of faith all over that just come together and gather. But they would be one as we are one. What was there between the Father and Son? Nothing. Nothing was kept from the Son to the Father. Only speak what the Father instructs. What if we were a place where we were one as He, as Jesus and the Father were one? Can I tell you it won't come without effort? And that effort isn't just starting something. That effort is maintaining something. That effort is seeing something through till eternity comes. Well, Pastor, you can't expect me to be open with everybody in here. No. But I do have a desire, as Jesus did, that we would have real relationship. Are you willing? Are you putting forth any effort? Can I tell you that Jesus' desire for us is that we would be a community of believers, that we would be united with him, and that we would have communion with each other, a close and intimate sharing. Pastor, how do you expect me to do that when you keep talking and they can get mad if I talk? Man, there's so much more than just this setting right here. And we try to set it out on a platter for you. Hey, we got life groups kicking off. Be a part. You mean like get together? You mean like outside of Sunday? Like I'm already here. Yeah, I mean like outside of Sunday. I mean like break bread together and have a meal together and share life together and share struggles together and laugh together and cry together. We got a great life group leader right here. Him and his wife, they're still looking for people to join their group. Can I do that to you? Can I do that to you? Can I do that to you? No, you are. You know, it is. It is true. Maybe you're like, well, I didn't think about it, and do need to engage. Maybe you're like, well, he looks young and hip. I'm not cool enough. Can I tell you that community is not about just joining with people who have like interests and things? You know, to me, I think we're better in our diversity. You know, when community looks like, stand up for a second, I'm sorry. When community looks like people coming together who don't look the same. I always use you because you don't look like me. notice how I pick people shorter than me? Why I didn't go to Brad? No, I'm just kidding. When community looks like different people coming together, well, what do I have in common with these? Jesus. Well, she's not going to like to play the games I like to play. He might not root for the same team I root for. We're still praying. But in our diversity, we could be united. We could be close. We could have communion with each other. Be united, not divided. Thank you. It doesn't have to look the same. Well, I'm not sure how I will fit. You fit because you belong to Christ. Again, not looking for preference, looking for a desire. Could we be the people that Jesus prayed about? Are we the people that Jesus prayed about? Yes. Could we be? Could we walk in? Did Jesus pray the perfect will of the Father? Or did Jesus step out on his own here? No, he prayed the perfect will of the Father, that we would be one as he is one. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm so thankful for this community. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. And can I tell you, I desire to know you more. Can I say I'm limited? Got 6 kids. For most of the time are incredible. So I'm limited, but can I tell you, where I may be limited, there's others here who have space. Can I tell you that I know Adam and Nicole, and they desire that they would be connected in community with some people here? Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Would you connect with Adam after service and ask him? Ask him when their life group meets. Well, I don't know if I could commit to that. Well, you'll never know until you ask. And you talking to him is not a committal. It's just having a conversation. It doesn't mean your oath, blood oath, and you're in and I can't get out. No, it's about a conversation. Have a conversation. Community should be ones that we engage in conversation with. And my prayer is that we would be the people that Jesus prayed for and prayed about. That we would be one as he is one. Father, today I thank you for